RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. In today's edition, we present you the news, commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. Then we will end our program with Music Corner. That's our program for today. Now stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here's the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo boosts a budget for tourism promotioned. Indonesia Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency, BMKG, assure Pakistan heat wave will not reach Indonesia. U.S. plans smart city concept for Padang. Now the news in detail. Indonesian government plans to boost its revenues from the tourism sector by stepping up its tourism promotions. Tourism Minister Arief Yahya said the promotion would be carried out through multiple means and media. He also pointed out that the plans to improve tourism promotions are in keeping with President Joko Widodo's orders. Minister Arief added that the president had given a go-ahead for him to intensify tourism promotion and pledged to meet quadruple the budget for tourism promotions. Minister Arief also said that with the decision, the budget for tourism promotion would jump to 4 trillion rupiah, whereas presently the figure only stood in the neighborhood of 1 trillion rupiah. The government has increased the number of tourism arrivals this year, with the foreign and domestic tourist targets patched at 10.5 million and 255 million respectively. Indonesian Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency BMKG assured on Wednesday that Pakistan's heat wave, which has caused almost 750 casualties, would not reach Indonesia. The agency head Andi Eka Sakian said that there was no fear the blistering heat in Pakistan could reach Indonesia because wind direction along the equator had changed northward since Southeast Asia had entered the dry season in early June. Andi told Jakarta Post on Wednesday that Indonesia in the dry season now. This means monsoon winds move from south to north, then change direction towards the northeast when approaching the equator. Under such a natural phenomenon, the heat wave from Pakistan will not reach Indonesia. He added Indonesian current average temperatures between 25 to 31 degrees Celsius. The maximum temperature range for this time of year is 20 to 36 degrees Celsius. The United States government has expressed interest in developing Padang into a smart city. U.S. Ambassador to Indonesia Robert Oblate stated that the U.S. is focusing its attention in developing research and technology in several countries, including Indonesia. Last year, the U.S. investment value in Indonesia had declined. In fact, the country is no longer one of the top five biggest investors in Indonesia. Ambassador Blade said that the decline was due to the cancellation of many construction plans as a result of changes in Indonesian government. He promised to improve cooperation with Indonesia, not only in the development of smart city but also in several other sectors. The mayor of Padang, Mayeldi Amsarullah, said that Padang regional government had prioritized the development of smart city to develop technology and information-based city management system. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has urged for an increase in tourism promotional activities to attract more foreign and domestic tourists. Chief of the Presidential Communication Team, Teten Mas Duki, said in a press statement in Jakarta Wednesday The president has asked the Minister of Tourism to maximize the country's tourism promotional activities to attract more foreign tourists to Indonesia. While chairing a limited cabinet meeting at presidential office in Jakarta, President Joko Widodo stated that the slowdown of the national economy should be countered with the rise in the number of tourist arrivals so it can support the national economy. To increase foreign tourist visits, the president issued Presidential Decree No. 69-2015 on free visa travel. However, according to the head of state, other breakthroughs are still needed to raise foreign tourist arrivals and to earn fresh funds. Indonesian Cooperatives and Small Medium Enterprises Ministry plans to revitalize traditional markets and facilitate street vendors in outermost and least developed regions. Cooperatives and Small Medium Enterprise Minister Aan Puspayoga said in Jakarta recently that the government is committed to empowering cooperatives and small and medium-scale enterprises in the least developed and outermost region in 2015. According to Minister Puspayoga, the revitalization program of the traditional markets in remote areas is part of the national development program. For the purpose, the ministry has stepped up coordination between central and regional governments in drafting policy program activities aimed at empowering cooperatives and small and medium enterprises in outermost regions and least developed regions. He also sees important to strengthen the government's policies and to accelerate the development in the least developed regions. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. East Kalimantan Water Police have detained two Malaysian flat ships off the coast of Karan Unarang, Nunukan, for not having proper documents. Head of the Law Enforcement Subdirectory of East Kalimantan Water Police, Sergeant Commander Charot Agun Riyadi, said on Wednesday that the two ships were seized over illegal fishing allegation. The Water Police had also confiscated 100 kilograms of fish and shrimp as evidence. Jarod also said that the two ships were also caught for using trolls, which is considered illegal because it could damage coral reefs. Following the arrest, the ship owner will be charged with articles in the fishery law, while the ships will be destroyed. After successfully cooperating in education and defense sector, now Croatia is focusing on tourism and technology sector in developing bilateral relations between Indonesia and Croatia. Croatian Ambassador to Indonesia, Dražen Margreta, in a special interview with RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia on Wednesday, said that tourism sector is one of sectors that supports economic growth in Croatia for about 17.2%.
We are preparing our MOU to be signed between two countries in tourism sector, in cooperation in tourism. Tourism makes 17.2% of our GDP. So very significant part of our GDP comes from tourism sector, and this is also where we see possibilities of exchanging the ideas and knowledge with Indonesia, because Indonesia is vast, huge country with a lot of potentials in tourism sector.
Ambassador Dražen further explained that Croatian tourism was able to attract 30 million tourists last year. The number is 3 times bigger than Croatian citizens. In addition to tourism, Croatia also wishes to cooperate in technology sector with Indonesia.
Another area of cooperation where we are also working hard with your Ministry of Technology is another memorandum of understanding between two governments in the area of technology. We have already started, and we recently had a delegation of our companies in IT sector. Our host was Ministry of Technology. So hopefully that we can develop this area very much, because this is the future of not only Indonesia and Croatia, but this is the future of this world. We see as IT sectors being developed so rapidly, so we believe that both our countries should put focus also on IT sector.
Ambassador Dražen added that although his word can only be seen in the future, He enjoys working in Indonesia. He wishes that bilateral cooperation between Indonesia and Croatia can be tightened and be beneficial for Indonesia and Croatia in the future. The last item, bilateral relation that has been tight for 24 years with Indonesia has made Croatian ambassador to Indonesia Dragan Marketa wish to introduce Croatia to Indonesian people across the country. In a special interview with RRI Service Voice of Indonesia on Wednesday, June 24, 2015, Ambassador Dragan stated that Croatian Independence Day is actually on October 8.
25th of June was date of proclamation, which had moratorium by European Union for 3 months, and the actual date of Croatian independence is on 8th of October, where this year we are planning to make celebrations in Jakarta. But my idea, you know, coming to big country as Indonesia, is to go a little bit out of capital city, to go to other provinces, to other islands, to smaller cities, because we want to be heard around Indonesia, not only in Jakarta.
Ambassador Dragan added that he wants Indonesian people in other cities in Indonesia, such as Balikpapan, Makassar, Padang, and Semarang, to know more about Croatia and celebrate Croatian Independence Day together. In that way, Croatia can establish bilateral relations not only among countries but also people-to-people contact. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, our commentary today entitled, Should the Cabinet Be Reshuffled? For the first 6 months, the working cabinet, formed by the government of President Joko Widodo and Vice President Yusuf Kalla, has carried out his duties. The cabinet consisting of 4 coordinating ministers and 30 ministers comes from professional and supporters of proposed political parties as well as successful team of Jokowi and JK in the 2014 presidential election. There is an expression that the working cabinet of President Joko Widodo and Vice President Yusuf Kalla just aimed at sharing power as a gratitude for having successfully Dropped as a president and vice president for the period 2014-2019. Now, after 6 months, President Joko Widodo's minister had been on duty. Indonesian people start wondering the performance of working cabinet of Jokowi and JK. Many argue that some of the ministers have not done their duties fully, so it is necessary to reshuffle the cabinet. Anyhow, should the cabinet be reshuffled? Indeed, some ministers have not shown their best achievement and significant breakthrough. However, a few of them have done their permanent performance and have also brought about major changes. Take, for example, Minister of Maritime and Fisheries, Susi Pujastuti. She even made a lot of breakthrough compared to the coordinating Minister of Maritime Affairs, Dwi Suryo Indroyono Susilo, in realizing Indonesia as a country of the world's maritime axis. Moreover, the changes cannot be done instantly. There must be necessary steps and prudent considerations. Instead, the changes that had been dreamed only bring about negative effects for many people. The cabinet reshuffle is not an easy thing to carry out. If it comes true, the successors cannot be guaranteed that they are better than the former ones. Indonesian people should be patient and wait for the step to be taken by President Joko Widodo and Vice President Yusuf Kalla. The performance of the ministers are always monitored by the President by asking them to provide performance reports over the last 6 months and also asking them the work plan for the next 6 months. If later there will be a cabinet reshuffle, hopefully the elected successors for the minister is the best Indonesian people who are committed to advancing Indonesia for a better condition ahead. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, meet again with me, Ani Hasana, in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We start from an event on June 25, 1938, when Bahasa Indonesia Congress was held in Solo, Sarajava. 77 years ago, a number of journalists, students, teachers, and intellectuals gathered in Solo, Sarajava. They held Bahasa Indonesia Congress. This Congress was held to follow up Youth Congress 1928, which agreed to make Bahasa Indonesia to become the unitary language of Indonesia. The initiator of Bahasa Indonesia Congress was Raden Mas Sudarjo Cokro Sisworo, a journalist of Surabaya newspaper. A number of active figures in the Congress were Sanusi Pane, Ki Hajar Dewantara, H.B. Perdi, Amir Sharifuddin, and Muhammad Yamin. The Congress was opened by the chairman of the committee, Dr. Purba Charaka. Around 500 participants attended the opening Congress, including representatives from Yogyakarta Sultanate, Sunan Solo, Paku Alam, Mangkunegara, Indonesian and Chinese Press, and from Java Institute. And the next event was in 1950, when North Korean forces invaded South Korea. The Korean War was a war between North and South Korea, in which a United Nations force led by the U.S. fought for the South and China fought for the North, which was also assisted by the Soviet Union. The war arose from the division of Korea at the end of World War II and from the global tensions of the Cold War that developed immediately afterwards. Korea was ruled by Japan from 1910 until the closing days of World War II. In August 1945, the Soviet Union declared war on Japan and, by agreement with the United States, occupied Korea north of the 38th parallel. U.S. forces subsequently occupied the South and Japan surrendered. By 1948, two separate governments had been set up. Both governments claimed to be the legitimate government of Korea, and neither side accepted the border as permanent. The conflict escalated into open warfare when North Korean forces, supported by the Soviet Union and China, invaded South Korea on June 25, 1950. On that day, the United Nations Security Council recognized this North Korean act as invasion and called for an immediate ceasefire. On June 27, the Security Council adopted S/RES/83, complaint of aggression upon the Republic of Korea, and decided the formation and dispatch of the UN forces in Korea. 21 countries of the United Nations eventually contributed to the defense of South Korea, with the United States providing 88% of the UN's military personnel. And the last event was in 1975, when Mozambique gained independence. Mozambique is a country in Southeast Africa, bordered by the Indian Ocean to the east, Tanzania to the north, Malawi and Zambia to the northwest, Zimbabwe to the west, and Swaziland and South Africa to the southwest. It is separated from Madagascar by the Mozambique Channel to the east. The capital and largest city is Maputo, or previously called Lourenco Marque before independence. Between the 1st and the 5th centuries AD, Bantu-speaking peoples migrated from further north and west. Swahili and later also Arab commercial ports existed along the coasts until the arrival of Europeans. The area was explored by Vasco da Gama in 1498, and colonized by Portugal from 1505. After over four centuries of Portuguese rule, Mozambique gained independence in 1975, becoming the People's Republic of Mozambique shortly thereafter. And listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with today's focus entitled Indonesia Must Get Prepared to Face ASEAN Economic Community 2015. Listener, the ASEAN Economic Community, or AEC 2015, is getting closer. Indonesia must do some improvements to optimize the benefits derived from the AEC. The improvements are national competitiveness, infrastructure, bureaucracy, business environment, and quality of human resources. It was stated by the Secretary General of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Indonesia, Kristiarto S. Legowo, in Surakarta, Sarawak Province. Kristiarto admitted in terms of infrastructure, such as length of time loading and unloading of ships in Indonesia, which averagely takes 6 days. He explained the duration of loading and unloading will impact on the competitiveness of Indonesian products. The price will be more expensive and the quality is reduced due to the length of transport time. On the other hand, Indonesia needs to convince professional labor certification process and determination of the Indonesian National Work Competence Standards, or SKNNI. According to him, currently Indonesia has just had 406 certificates, 9 sectors. Meanwhile, to support the readiness to face the AEC 2015, Bali Financial Services Authority, FSA, asked Bank Perkreditan Rakyat, or BPR, to have a minimum capital and strong core capital for the ASEAN Economic Community, AEC, in 2020 for the banking industry. Head of Bali FSA, Zulmi, said it requires preparation to be able to thrive to face ASEAN Economic Community in banking sector by 2020. On the other hand, Vice Regent of Indragiri Hilir, Riau Province, Rosman Malomo, said there are some things that should be improved in the ASEAN Economic Community AEC, such as improvement of human resources and natural resources. Rosman Malomo also said education is a foundation for human capital to build and develop the region, especially in the era of tight globalization. He admitted the impact of the ASEAN Economic Community AEC is a free market in the field of capital, goods and services, and employment. Even, Rosman said, the goal of the establishment of AEC is to improve the economic stability in the ASEAN region. Rosman hopes Indonesia will be able to overcome the economic problems among the ASEAN countries. And listener, that was Focus.
Here are the headlines of several national newspapers published today, June 25. I'm Dalat Pane. Kompas newspaper, in its headline, writes, Kompas Award 2015, Outstanding Intellectuals. Since the award was first given in 2008, and 5 people for every year, so this year there have been 30 recipients. They contribute to society, including mass media, Kompas. Through the full selection of responsibility, the 2015 Dedicated Kompas Award. The recipients are Ayumardi Azra, A. Prasetyantoko, Sri Murti Ningshi Adi Utomo, Yongki Karman, and Yudi Latif. Republika newspaper writes, Jokowi regrets Aspiration Fund. National Development Planning Minister Andiano Caniago said, President Joko Widodo does not agree with the Electoral Region Development Fund, UP2DV, or Aspiration Funds in the House. He said the president was worried about the development program will not go along with the program has been drawn up by the government. He suggested the parliament to do their legislative
budgeting, and oversight functions. Aspiration Fund program where members of parliament can still propose development program in regions. The government, he said, will only run programs that have been set out in the medium-term plan. Media Indonesia newspaper writes Aspiration Fund contradicts Jokowi's vision. National Development Planning Head Adriano Chaniago confirms the proposed Electoral District Development Program, UP2DP, or Aspiration Fund, that the Parliament decided is contrary to the vision and mission of Jokowi Dodo and Yusuf Kala. However, the government has not yet decided whether to accommodate or reject the funds. He asserted, corresponding to the House function, oversight, budgeting and legislation, while the construction is the duty and the authority of the government. Although the parliament argue that its distribution will be done by the government, the aspiration fund remains imprecise to be proposed by the parliament. Moreover, Adriano does not want to ascertain whether the government is willing or refusing to accommodate the aspirations funds. We end headline today with Koran Sindo, which writes, investigated for 5 hours, Samad lauds the police. Abraham Samad re-examined by the police. The non-active chairman of the Corruption Eradication Commission, KPK, yesterday underwent the examination as a suspect case of alleged abuse of authority at the police headquarters. Samad appreciated the examination by police investigators who carried out their duties in a professional manner. National Police Chief General Badruddin Haiti said, Samad's investigation has been through an applicable law mechanism. Therefore, he dismissed the concerns of several parties that the police institution and the Corruption Eradication Commission will clash and has an impact on the political uproar. Well, listener, that ends today's national newspaper headlines published in Jakarta, Thursday, June 25.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. Indonesian government plans to boost its revenues from tourism sector by stepping up its tourism promotions. Tourism Minister Arif Yahya said the promotion would be carried out through multiple means and media. He also pointed out that the plans to improve tourism promotion are in keeping with President Joko Widodo's orders. Indonesia Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency BMKG assured on Wednesday that Pakistan's heat wave, which has caused almost 750 casualties, would not reach Indonesia. The agency head Andi Eka Sakia said that there was no fear the blistering heat in Pakistan could reach Indonesia because wind directions along the equator had changed northward since Southeast Asia had entered the dry season in early June. The United States government has expressed its interest in developing Padang into a smart city. U.S. Ambassador to Indonesia Robert Oplate stated that U.S. is focusing its attention in developing research and technology in several countries, including Indonesia. President Joko Widodo has urged for an increase in tourism promotional activities to attract more foreign and domestic tourists. Chief of the Presidential Communication Team, Teten Mas Dugi, said in a press statement in Jakarta Wednesday, the President has asked the Minister of Tourism to maximize the country's tourism promotional activities to attract more foreign tourists to Indonesia. Indonesian Cooperatives and Small and Medium Enterprises Ministry plans to revitalize traditional markets and facilitate street vendors in outermost and least developed regions. East Kalimantan Water Police have detained 2 Malaysian flagships of the Kosop Karan Unarant, Nunukan, for not having proper documents. Head of the Law Enforcement Subdirectory of East Kalimantan Water Police, Jarod Agung Riyadi, said on Wednesday the 2 ships were seized over illegal fishing allegation. After successfully cooperating in education and defense sector, now Croatia is focusing on tourism and technology sector in developing better relations between Indonesia and Croatia. Bilateral relations that has been tight for 24 years with Indonesia has made Croatian ambassador to Indonesia, Dražen Marketa, wish to introduce Croatia to Indonesian people across the country. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Thank you for still listening to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listeners, now here are our next programs, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, as well as arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, I invite you to a religious tour to Cirebon in West Java. So stay tuned. Listener, Ramadan has arrived. It is time for a religious tour to several cities in Indonesia. Religious tour in the month of Ramadan is synonymous with visiting historical and unique mosques. One of them is in Cirebon, West Java. In this town, there is an old mosque, Merah Panjunan Mosque, which has stood from the 14th century. The building is made of red bricks, which does not look like a mosque in general. Merah Panjunan Mosque is located at Kolektoran Panjunan Street, Panjunan Village, Lemah Wungkuk Sub-District. Merah Panjunan Mosque was built by Maulana Abdul Rahman, or better known as Prince Panjunan, in 1480. He was an Arab who led a group of immigrants from Baghdad. Later, he became a student of Sunan Gunung Jati, a propagator of Islam in Java. Since ancient times, the Merah Panjunan Mosque was a place of worship and place of Sunan Gunung Jati, together with the scholars to strategize the spread of teachings of Islam. Today, the mosque is protected as a cultural heritage because it is full of history. During the month of Ramadan, the Merah Panjunan Mosque is easily visited by tourists. The administrators of the mosque also provide iftar menu and kahwa, or typical Arabic coffee ginger delights. Merah Panjunan Mosque's main building, measuring 25 times 25 meters, the mosque's porch, measuring 6 times 8 meters, and a patch size of about 10 times 1 meter. Merah Panjunan Mosque has a main room measuring 8 times 12 meters. This mosque looks different from mosques in general in Indonesia. If the mosques in general have domes and towers, it is not for the Merah Panjunan Mosque. The mosque is actually black pyramid roof without towers. The front part is in the form of a gate, like the gate of the temple. Then, the entire corner of the mosque is red because it is made of red bricks. Merah Panjunan Mosque is a blend of Hindu, Chinese and Islam. The temple gate and red brick is the influence of Hinduism. Inside the mosque, there are many ceramics are plastered on the walls of the mosque. The color and pattern of the tiles were varied. The ceramic believed that the provision of Chinese merchants to Sunan Gunung Jati. Merah Panjunan Mosque, supported by 17 pillars, which symbolize the 17 cycles in prayers. Four of the 17 pillars that constitute the main wafer as a symbol of the four priests in law or Islamic law. They are Imam Malik, Imam Hanbali, Imam Shafi, and Imam Hanafi. In the Merah Panjunan Mosque, Panjunan, there is no podium, hence, the mosque is only used for daily prayers, not for Friday prayers and Eid al-Fitr prayers. Well, listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Merah Panjunan Mosque, and see you next time. Bye-bye.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, listener. Wherever you are, welcome back to Miscellany from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we present you Lake Sentani Festival. Indonesia has millions of places to visit indeed. To introduce various regions in Indonesia, the Indonesian government often holds various festivals. One of the festivals which has been successfully held is Lake Sentani Festival. Lake Sentani is situated in Kalkote Tourism Area, Sentani Timur District, Jayapura Regency, Papua Province. The tourism agenda, which has been held since 2007, took place on June 19th to 23rd, 2015. This year, Lake Sentani Festival carried the theme, My Culture, My Welfare, is an expression of love for each other through cultural character strengthening, which is implemented in peaceful life norm. Lake Sentani Festival 2015 presented art, dance and traditional music performance, traditional culinary exhibition and traditional handicraft including cultural objects exhibition, Cyclops stone handicraft, accessories, cultural literature and development products. There were also tourism promotion and tour on Lake Sentani, overland tour and diplomatic tour. Besides, there was the National Museum of Record or MURI breaking for 1 million nilafish seeds spreading, mass cleaning community service or kerja bakti for 10,000 people, Lake Sentani cleaning and Cyclops stone market. The local government, especially Jayapura Regency, also got an award for holding art and culture feast. In his speech, Indonesian Tourism Minister Arief Yahya said that Lake Sentani Festival proved the commitment, seriousness and love of people in Papua for their culture. Minister Arief Yahya also explained that the culture of Papua is indeed unique, authentic and high valued. Lake Sentani Festival 2015 aims to promote the potential of cultural art and tourism object, preserve cultural art and ecosystem of Jayapura Regency, as well as boost regional economy in Jayapura Regency. Lake Sentani is the biggest lake in Papua Province, reaching about 9,360 hectares in the height of 75 meters under the sea level. Located in Jayapura Regency and surrounded by 21 beautiful islets, the lake supports 24 villages around it, inhabited by friendly and creative people who produce the best handicraft and the land of bird of paradise. Lake Sentani also has historical bond with World War II when it became training place for amphibious aircraft landing. This runway was built by Japanese troops, which was taken over by the U.S. Armed Forces in 1944 under the leadership of General MacArthur. For a listener, that ends today's miscellany on Lake Sentani Festival. I'm Harnita. Thanks for listening.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to Music Corner, a special segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, I present you duo Maria da Silva and Naomi Risa Masu, and also Happy Salma and Bella Wang. And to initiate this program, I present you duo Maria da Silva and Naomi Risa Masu, who had joined the Moluccas band. It is not only the western part of Indonesia that only has good singers, but eastern parts of Indonesia as well. Maria and Naomi, who bring pop evolution, have released a single with the title Yellow. Well, listener, now let's listen to a song entitled Yellow. And here is the song. Evolution, according to Maria, is a mix of pop music with various genres such as jazz, R&B, dance, rock, that is more energetic because the lyrics are easy to digest. The duo Maria and Naomi hope their single Yellow can be enjoyed by people, especially their single Lady, which is cheerful with family and friends while hanging out. Well, listener, I present you the next singer, Happy Salma. Happy Salma is an Indonesian celebrity who is more widely known as a model, actress, presenter, writer, and also active in theater, and finally released her first single, Mati Menahan Rindu. The single, which is a recycled song from Soulja, Breaking the Roots, is recognized by Happy as a magnet for her. Since she firstly heard the song, she loved it. Happy said that Mati Menahan Rindu becomes the hit song for her to get into the music industry because she likes the song, the story in it, and there are few feelings that she ever experienced. Well, listener, now let's listen to the next song, Mati Menahan Rindu by Happy Salma. And here is the song.
Oh,
Well, the next singer is Bella Wang. Carrying the upbeat pop music genre for Tans, Bella Wang admitted that the song fits perfectly with her character. According to Bella, this time many talented young artists on the rise, but they do not sing special pop for young children. Furthermore, the woman who was born in Surabaya on June 20, 1995, relies on a single, Mudah Jatuh Cinta, or Easy to be Falling in Love. She said that her involvement in the world of music industry is not her goal since childhood. Singing for her is just her hobby. Well, listener, now let's listen to the last song entitled Mudah Jatuh Cinta by Bella Wang, and here is the song.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.